Amen. Thank you so much for singing, and we'll get right into the Bible message. We're looking through at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. As you know, we're preaching our way through the book of 1 Peter, 1 and 2 Peter, and just getting started, but we're in 1 Peter chapter 1 and looking at verse number 5. Now, you remember as we introduce these books, that it's written to Christians who are facing some persecution and facing difficulties and facing problems, and God is writing to them using human instrumentation to write to them, to tell them of the hope for the future, the trials that they're having in the present, but to realize that they're kept, and that's what we're going to speak about tonight. They are kept by the power of God. And so as you go through your difficulties, remember that you're not the first group of Christians that have gone through these things. This book that we're looking into was written to a group of people who were facing all kinds of difficulties, all kinds of troubles. Were they facing troubled economic times? Well, yes, but totally different than us. But were they facing some persecution? Yes. And they were facing those difficulties, and they were facing things that were trying their faith. So when you have things that are happening in your life, you said, whew, I'm really going through it. We're not the first generations of Christians to do that. And God is equipping us through this book. And as we preach through this on Sunday nights, I trust it'll be a great blessing to you. Verse number 5 of 1 Peter 1, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And we will stop there because I really am going to get the whole message from this verse, verse number 5, because it says in verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, they're in heaviness, and we'll preach about that in weeks to come. But I want to look at that verse number 5, who are kept. There's a story of a Scottish man who was always economical. Now, when you talk about somebody being frugal or economical, you know what that's a nice way of saying, right? They're a cheapskate. But if it is that cheapskate, they never want to say it like that. They say, no, I'm just a wise steward, or I'm economical, or I'm frugal. But this guy was whatever you want to call him, frugal, cheapskate, economical. But he left instructions because he was prepaying for his expenses and the things that he were going to, after his funeral came. But for his tombstone, he got a very small one, and he only had one word etched into it other than his name, and that word was kept. And he brought it from this verse. Kept, who are kept by the power of God. He was a believer, strong faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wanted people to know in his cheap way, he wanted people to know when they came through there that he was kept. And my friend, if you're saved tonight, you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you should rejoice and I should rejoice as we look at this verse, who are kept by the power of God. And I'm going to pray and ask the Lord's blessings for these next few moments, that God would get into us what He wants us to have, because there's going to be trials this week. And some of us will face trials this week that we did not expect. Some of ours will be the continuation of trials we've already been experiencing, but some of them may be some trials that we never even saw coming. But I want us to remember this verse as they come after us. Father, be with us now is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. So that section with the five verses, the next five verses, are going to be talking about the trials of the believer. And we're going to get to that in weeks to come. But there's that word in verse number 5, and that word is what I've already talked about, and that's kept. And my friend, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a kept individual. Now, that word brings different connotations. Well, I don't want to be kept. I want to be my own person. I want to be on my own merit. I want to make sure that I'm taking care of myself. Listen, friend, if you're thinking that, you don't even know what you're saying. We need to be kept by the power of God, because unless we're kept by the power of God, we're certainly going to be falling, and we're certainly going to be in a horrible shape. And so we look at this word kept in that, and that's what I bring you to first. I want you to look at our position in Christ. The position is that word kept, as we see that we're kept. You'd understand that our daughters, we've got a son that got married last year, but our daughters are at home with us. And this is our youngest daughter, Allison. She's 18 today. It's her birthday, March the 3rd. And so she is our family. She's in. She doesn't have to worry about it. We've got Jared's our firstborn. Maddie's our redhead. And then as I told you before, Allie's our Southern Baptist. She was born in the Baptist Hospital in Nashville, Tennessee. And so she doesn't have to try to be in our family. She doesn't have to work it up. She doesn't have to renew her papers. She doesn't have to try to make sure that she's still in good standing. She's in. She's kept in our family. Doesn't matter what she does. We may not approve of what she does. We may not always enjoy what she does. Just like your children, they may not always be on their best behavior, their best moment, but they're ours. She's ours when she's a bright and shining star, and she's ours when we hang our head in shame and say, boy, oh boy, oh boy, what is she doing now? She doesn't do that very often, but if she did, she's ours. We've never had a time, nor do we plan to start any time, where we disown them or not claim them because they're ours. And those of us with the inheritance, look back in verse number 4, if you will, that those that have the inheritance in verse number 4, and as you look at that inheritance, it's incorruptible and you've got it, it's undefiled, that it fadeth not away, it's reserved, it's all of those things. That's the inheritance that you have as a believer in Jesus Christ. My friend, if you're that group in verse number 4, then you can look and with great strength say in verse number 5, I'm a kept individual. You're the ones that God is talking about in verse number 5. And we ought to all grow weary when you hear teaching and religious broadcasting and all that. It gives us a set of rules that if we follow these rules, then somehow we can be accepted. My friend, I'm only accepted by God Almighty because of what Jesus Christ did for me. I'm a strict believer that there are certain ways that you're supposed to live. You're supposed to do this, don't do that, make sure you go here, don't go there, do all these things. There's rules galore if you want to look at it in that way, but none of those rules get you kept. The only thing that gets you kept is Jesus' blood and His righteousness. You see, there's a lot of things that you as a human being ought to do, but none of those things that you do get you to heaven. There's a lot of things that you as a Christian ought to do, but none of those things get you to heaven. The only way you enter into that verse number 5 being kept is by being in that verse number 4 and having that inheritance incorruptible. And the only way you get in that verse number 4 is to have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And so, my friend, I'm looking at this position that we get to have. Philippians chapter 1. Why don't you turn back there just for a little bit. Just turn left a few of them. If you go to Corinthians, you've gone too far. All those books that end in uns. Look at Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6. As I was preparing for this, I was thinking about this aspect, who hath begun a good work. And then not only he begin a good work, but he's going to perform it. And then it talks about how long he's going to perform it. Are you there in Philippians chapter 1 verse number 6? The Bible says, he which hath begun a good work in you, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I don't want you to get away from the fact of who's performing that work. Sometimes we Christians, we act like, oh, we've all dressed up and we've all cleaned up and we've all straightened up and we've all talked right and we've all done all these things, and I'm for every bit of that. But I'm also looking that he began the work, he's going to perform it, and he's going to do it all the way till the end. And so I see that position that we're kept by the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about security companies that guard something. If you've got a great fortune that you want to have protected, maybe you'll get some kind of private security to come and guard that. Or maybe you've got a famous person coming through and you go, well, I'm going to have a security guard to be all around them. They're going to be guarded and they're going to be armed and they're going to be in protecting this valuable person or this valuable possession. Well, better than any security company, we're kept by the power of God. And this brings me to my next point. Not only do we see the power, the position, but then as we work our way through this verse, we see the power that by which we've got the position. We are who are kept by the power of God. You might have that private security firm, and you may spend lots of money to guard the perimeter of some warehouse that's got a valuable asset in the inside. But my friend, you've never got any security like the Lord Jesus Christ does security on you. He ever liveth, the Bible says, to make intercession for you. His blood was once presented, but he ever liveth to make that intercession, I should say. And so if you hire that private security firm, they can only do what humans can do. But we're looking at a greater security company than that. We're looking at the eternal, omnipotent, all-powerful. We're looking at the omnipresent, the security company, God Almighty. And we've got that power of God, and that's the power that we get to have every time you go into your bank to make a deposit or withdraw or change some funds or all that. If it's a bank, you go in, you see that FDIC sticker on the door. It's insured federally. If you go to your credit union, that NCUA, it's federally insured. These assure you that your deposits are backed up by the U.S. government. Well, I don't want to get political, but the government may or may not always be there for you. You say, Pastor, it ain't going to be there for us. Well, I don't ruin the sermon. I'm just saying, for illustration's point, it's a good thing when you see that on the door. Oh, that's insured up to a certain amount. But my friend, we've got better than the FDIC, better than the NCUA. We are kept by the power of God. You see, as I was joking about our children, they may not always be on their best day, but they're not the only ones. You may not always be on your best day either. And let's say, for instance, that you had a great week last week. Now, for the sake of argument, let's say that was a really good week. But this week may be a horrible one. You may get up late, forget to read your Bible 3 days. You kick the dog and cuss the wife. And hopefully, if you're going to do that, make sure it's that way, not the other way. On second thought, don't kick or cuss either one of them. How's that? But you understand that you're not kept by the power of your performance. Isn't that humbling? I'm a big believer. I'm an old-fashioned preacher that I believe that people ought to live holy lives, and some of the ungodly things that even Christians are passing off as acceptable is appalling and must be appalling to the Lord. But no matter how separated you get, how strict you get in adherence to some set of rules that you've set up for yourself, you're not kept by that performance. My friend, you can't perform good enough. You can't display yourself in a good enough way to get accepted by God. God says that our best, our righteousness, as it says in the Old Testament, is filthy rags, meaning the best that we can offer up to God. Look, God, I got dressed up for church. Look, God, I put on my best behavior. Look, God, I did everything that's right. Lord, I covered up. I got it long enough. I got it loose enough. I got it tie. I got this. I started being nice, and I got all of this. And we put it up to God, and we say, look how good this is. God says, you're righteous. The best of the best is filthy rags. And so you, my friend, are not kept by your performance or your power, but the Scripture says, by the power of God. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. Oh, my goodness. Romans chapter 1, verse number 16 says, the gospel, speaking of the gospel, it's the power of God unto salvation. It's that power. I was riding on an elevator with a group of teens. I forget what kind of activity we were on. And those boys, before I could realize what they were doing, they start jumping. And there's this little voice that came on. I forget what it said, but something, stop it, dummies. It didn't say that, but it said violation, you know, security's called or whatever. I don't remember what it said. When you look at that elevator, you get on there, you see that rating, however many thousand pounds. However many, if you ever look at those, you've got a elevator that's maybe 4x6. It says maximum of 28 people. It's like 28 people. We'd all have to be like this. We'd have to take turns breathing. Okay, your turn, breathe in, breathe out. Now my turn. The capacity is very okay on that. But those boys were jumping. And how strong is that elevator? I don't know how strong that elevator. All of them are rated, and engineers have said how much weight they'll hold. I don't know that, but I know that there's no limit on how much weight our God, the power of God, my salvation is secure. Amen. One old preacher put it like this, I'm so sure of that, I'm so secure in that, I could swing out over hell on a rusty old vine singing, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, and swing back in because I'm safe in the power of God. But I want you to look not only at the power of God, but I want you to look at the point of entry that we get if we stay in this verse. Who are kept by the power of God through faith. God is and was and always will be all-powerful. But how did I take advantage? How did I get in on such a good deal? How did I become a partaker of this blessed promise? How can I have that assurance? And how can you sit there and have that assurance? Oh, it's the power of God. It keeps me. How can I know for sure that I'm kept in that power? The answer, faith. Look at what it says. It's kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Hebrews chapter 11 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Bible goes on to say in Hebrews that without faith it's impossible to please Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. My friend, you don't get that power of God imputed into you because you finally do enough things at this or three other churches. You don't get that power of God covering your inefficiencies and your insufficiencies and your sin. You don't get that because you finally did enough penance. You don't get that because you finally got yourself to where people thought you were somebody. No, the point of entry is faith. Believing who He is. Jesus Christ. A ship might carry goods to a foreign land across the sea, but they had to have an origin. If you check that log, it had to start somewhere. You may be driving on Interstate 26 out here, go all the way to Asheville, or you may drive up this way and go to 81 and drive all the way across, get on 40. You may go 1,000 different places, but when somebody comes up to you and asks you at a truck stop or at a rest area or wherever, where are you coming from? You say, well, I got on at Gray. I got on 81 up there at whatever exit. I got on at Suncrest Drive. You had that point of entry. Now, that road will take you wherever, but you had a point of entry. And my friend, our roads may take us a lot of places before God finally takes us home, but we had a point of entry, and that point of entry was the time that in faith you called out to Jesus Christ. He that cometh to Him, He will in no wise cast out. And so I see that point of entry is through faith. Do you, my friend, look back in your mind's eye at a time when you looked on Jesus Christ as who He was, the Savior? You realized who you were, the sinner. And you put your faith in Jesus Christ and say, Lord, You're my only hope, the point of entry. That point of entry is through faith. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. And I'll give you this last one, point number 4, the revelation. I was going to say perseverance because that went with the alliterating position, power, point of entry, and perseverance. But when you say perseverance, that indicates that you did something to keep it up. And that's not true because you didn't do anything to earn it. You can't do anything to keep it. If it were up to you, you'd lose it. So we see the revelation. Look at the end of verse number 5. Ready to be revealed in the last time. As I've already mentioned, I may catch you in a bad season. I may come up to Walmart and that person at the checkout has royally messed up your order. Buddy of mine, he won't go through the self-checkouts. He said, well, no, I'm not stealing somebody's job. I'm going to go through the ones where they got a real person there. And he said, what am I going to do when they have an employee appreciation banquet? I'm going to come there and I start working there. I'm going to scan the stuff myself. So he says, no way, I'm not going through the self-checkout. But I may come up to you and that person at the checkout line is messed up your order. They didn't do right. And you do what a Christian ought not to do. You let them have it. Now, when that happens, I don't typically come and put my arm around you and say, well, look at you, church member. I usually go on back for a while and shop and look around at some guns or something for a little bit longer and give you time to get out because I don't want to embarrass you, nor do I want to have to put church discipline in on you for sure. But I might catch you at a bad time. But I don't want to shock you, but you might catch me at a bad time too, because the next week it might be me giving somebody a piece of my mind. As I mentioned some time back, the one lady told her husband, don't give him a piece of your mind. You don't have much left. You might catch me giving somebody a piece of my mind. I'm not always on my best, but neither are you. But again, as God says, is ready to be revealed at the last time when I catch you in a bad season, not on your best game, but there is something in you ready to be revealed. And it wasn't because you did such a good job keeping up your image. My father-in-law, he, as I mentioned before and at the beginning, is frugal or economical, which is another way for saying a cheapskate. He bought on sale, clearance, all the way down at Lowe's, I think it was, a little puny Japanese maple. It was in a fairly good sized pot, but the little thing was just shriveled up and kind of leaning over. But it was discount again. And he's always had a green thumb. He can grow most anything. And so he took that thing and he watered it, nurtured it. He had a little greenhouse back on the back deck and he kept it going and he got it revived. He was ready to shine. He was so kind. We were redoing some of our landscape in the front of our house on Montague Avenue. And we needed a centerpiece there in the front. He'd grown it to a good little bit. He bought it as a little puny thing, but he had watered it and fertilized it and got it growing, got it looking nice. And he said, "Here, John, you can put it out there." And I did. It was ready to be revealed. It was showing itself off until I killed it. But he had it ready to showcase. The illustration breaks down there because this part ready to be revealed, what Jesus did in you, won't ever die. And God says, you're kept by that power of God, ready to be revealed in the last time. My friend, you and I are not living this Christian life just for today and tomorrow and this week. But we're in this for the long haul. I'm in this work of God. I'm in this family life. I'm in this Christianity. I'm in all of it for the long haul. And I am ready to be revealed in the last time. And I hope it's soon that the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. If he doesn't come back within my lifetime, I want to go out in a way that I'm serving the Lord, ready to be offered. And the trials that we look at later in these verses will not have to get you down because God has you ready to be revealed, that revelation. You are kept ready to be revealed, as the verse says, the very last phrase, in the last time. He's got you taken care of. You say, "Well, I'm feeling pretty puny." My friend, God's not done with you yet. Ready to be revealed. Our middle child, Maddie, she was standing by some little friends of Jared sometime back at Franklin Road when they were there just little. And these boys, a group of boys, and for some reason Maddie had come over there beside of them. And so they were boys, and you know, all boys, no, they don't like girls. And so at that point, now they changed drastically somewhere along the way. But Jared pulled over Maddie, and he just with a commanding voice, as much as a little 5 or 6 or whatever year old he was, said, "It's all right if my sister comes and is in our group, right? It's nice to have somebody who takes up for you." And my friend, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. We are ready to be revealed in the last days, in the last time. I don't know of a better truth that you can go home and sleep on tonight than to know that I'm kept. I'm not only kept by some source that's unknown, I'm kept by the power of God. My heart is full when I think about how good God is to us. Would you bow your heads together with me in prayer? Father, thank you for this wonderful truth in these verses. Lord, I ask you to help us rejoice because we're kept by you. Lord, it's not a works position. It's a kept position by the power of God. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. I pray if there's somebody that's downhearted tonight, that you would lift them and build them and remind them they're kept by your power. And I pray, dear Lord, if there's somebody in this room that isn't saved, they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that today they would, through faith, get in on that power of God, get in on that kept position by being born again. Bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name. If you're able to, as they play, would you stand? If God speaks to your heart, I invite you to come tonight. Maybe it's been a while since you just relished in the fact that I'm not doing what I do to be accepted by God. I'm accepted by God because I'm saved. I'm His. I'm doing what I do because I'm saved, because I want to honor Him and serve Him and please Him in my walk, but not for my salvation. Maybe you're here tonight and you've been trying really hard. You've been living a certain way. You've been doing certain things, not doing other things, to try to get accepted. My friend, it'll never work. Through faith is the only way that a person comes to Christ. And through coming to Christ is the only way that a person ever hopes to enter heaven. If you're here today not knowing, not for sure you're saved, would you step out and come? Brother Daniel's right in front of the pulpit, would love to take a Bible and just patiently show you from it how you can be sure you're saved. Maybe you have some other spiritual need. You want to take another step. You want to do something for the Lord. You want to be baptized. You want to join. You want to step out. You'd like to serve in some area here. Just step out and come and tell Brother Daniel, listen, I'd like to talk to you this week about something in one of those areas. As they just play another verse, if God's speaking your heart, I invite you to come. Thank you. May look this way. Well, it's a joy to be in church tonight, and I wanted to remind you, these were spread out on the pews this morning, but there's plenty of them back in the lobby. These are our Easter invite cards, and I want to go over the schedule just so everybody's aware. On that Easter resurrection morning, the time we celebrate the resurrection, 7 o'clock, we'll have a sunrise service right out here in the courtyard. And that'll be a different service than the other ones, but it'll be a quaint service. It'll be probably about 40, 45 minutes or so. It won't be a really long service, but that'll be at 7. And then we won't have Sunday school that morning, but at 9 and 11, we'll have two identical services. The choir will sing both, and some specials will be given on both services. And then we'll have 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock service. I want you to pray that God would give us a tremendous crowd on Easter right here on this property. And so please be praying about that. There's invite cards back in the lobby. And I challenge you to try to have somebody here on Resurrection Sunday with you. And we'll look forward to a great time. The ladies' Bible study will begin this Thursday. I can't remember if Kyle mentioned that. He may have already. But at 10 o'clock and at, 7 o'clock. 10 o'clock in the chapel and then 7 o'clock over here in the ministry house. So ladies, if you have an opportunity to come to one of those, it's a great time. Just a fellowship with other ladies and a good time to get some good word Bible study as well. And it'll be a great, great time for you. And I challenge you to be there for that. Well, those are the things that I want to share with you. And thank you so much for being in church. I ask you to just see somebody who you haven't talked to yet on the way out. It's 7:29, and we're out right on time. And so I hope that you will get by to meet or greet a couple of people. And I'm going to ask Brother Marty, if you don't mind, to come up and dismiss us in prayer. And Amy and I will slip back to the lobby. If we can do anything for you, then please stop by and see us. If you're a newcomer, maybe in the last year or so, you've come to Buffalo Ridge, you've joined or you haven't joined, or you're just visiting as our guest, then we're having a newcomers fellowship in 2 weeks on the 17th of March after the 11 o'clock service over the Family Life Center. There's a sign-up sheet back where Amy will be standing. And if you'd be our guest, we won't have anything fancy. I think we're having hot dogs and hamburgers, but we'll have plenty of it. And we'd like for you to come and just fellowship with us. And we get to know you. You get to know us. Just ask questions and we'll share a little bit about the church. And so that newcomers fellowship is always a blessing, and I challenge you to be here with us. And so thank you again for being here. Brother Marty, pray for us, please. Thank you for being in church.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, it's been such a good day to be in your house, to gather around your word, to sing songs. And Lord, we thank you for what we've heard tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the power that saved me. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you bless each one that's here tonight. Pray, Lord, you'll bless us as we go out throughout the week, that we'll serve you and live for you. I pray that you'll get honor and glory through all we do. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.